Last year, I launched a quiz to help people better understand what areas of their financial life they should focus on instead of just worrying about the overwhelm of all the different things that you could spend time on. And so it's called the Find Your Focus Quiz, and I'm going to relaunch it today. You can find the link in the show notes. It is a free quiz, and you get a PDF report afterwards emailed over to you with some fun graphics and scores for every category along the way. We'll assess your savings habits, your debt management skills, your investment knowledge, cash management, and retirement planning. I've seen answers and scores all over the place, tons of surprising answers here, and it's given me lots of ideas for ways to improve my content here on the podcast. So if you're new to listening to the podcast, have a look at the quiz and see for yourself what areas of your financial life you should be focusing on. And if you're not new to the podcast and you haven't done the quiz before, check it out as well. You might be surprised at how you score in some of these categories. Have a look at the link in the show notes. It is completely free. Thanks for giving it a try and enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome back to the Canadian Money Roadmap Podcast. I'm your host, Evan Neufeld. Today, we are going to be pulling back the curtain and I am going to be disclosing a few of the dumb things that I've done with my money. I know in my own life when I look at other professionals and I see things that they're supposed to be experts at and things that they're really good at, you assume that they're perfect with everything they do. But the idea of the plumber has leaky pipes and all that kind of stuff, it's like, yeah, and financial planning, that's true too. So I really wanted to do a pretty honest episode here about some things that I've done wrong with my money over the years, some of them many years ago and some of them much more recently. But I'm going to do it in light of explaining a few lessons about why, in my personal circumstance, these quote-unquote dumb things were actually smart or beneficial for me. In some cases, I got really lucky and it turned out to be a good outcome. And I'll talk about that one at the end. But some of the things are just more personal preferences based on past experience and circumstance. But yeah, we'll get into it right away here. But before we keep going, few things. A lot of them are based on buying things or spending money or having access to things. And I know that that's a privilege that many people don't have. So I don't want to make it seem like everyone even has the opportunity to do these quote-unquote dumb things. And so having the opportunity to make dumb mistakes and still come out okay is a privilege that not everybody has. So anyways, just maybe a little caveat there that I understand where I'm coming from these places that not everybody is there. But I wanted to just be open and honest about some things that I've done in my own life. So number one, first thing, dumb thing, when you're looking for a vehicle, if you're looking to make a wise financial decision when buying a vehicle, what does everybody tell you? You should buy used, and buying new is a completely stupid idea. I bought a new car and I've bought a new car twice. So let me go back and explain why it could be financially dumb. The big one is depreciation. Cars are a nightmare for depreciation. And as soon as you drive it off the lot, the car loses a significant amount of its value. And if you don't have the cash up front, financing a new car can be really, really expensive. In my case, that wasn't the issue, but financing can be really, really expensive. And then you just throw away money to interest as your vehicle is depreciating, so that by the time you've actually paid it off, you've paid much more than the original value of the car, and it's worth significantly less. Cars are a money pit. However, I learned that the hard way, and I bought some bad used cars, and probably two or three of them in a row, to be completely honest. I thought I was making smart decisions. They were good used vehicles from someone I knew. However, I didn't ask enough questions and I ended up with vehicles that were not maintained well. And they were just a source of constant frustration. And the amount of money that I put into those used vehicles to maintain them was astronomical. It was pretty crazy. And so I was sick of having cars clunking down the road. Yeah, I didn't pay much for them, but the repair cost that went into them was really quite high. I'm not handy, so I can't really do some of those things myself. So when I was looking to replace a couple of Lemon used vehicles, I decided to look new. And I didn't look for something fancy. I bought a brand new Honda Civic. It's about as boring as it gets, but that was how I was able to justify a financially dumb decision by buying probably one of the most prudent and practical vehicles that's on the road. Their depreciation is the lowest, their reliability is the highest, and so I thought, man, if this goes wrong, it's probably the least impactful way that I could buy a new car. So for me, buying new allowed me to have a lot more peace of mind. It was a lot more reliable. And at that time, this was a number of years ago, I don't even have the vehicle anymore, but a number of years ago, it was available. So Civics, there's a lot of them out there, but a lot of people want them. And because they're reliable, they don't really sell them. So in many cases, if you're looking for a specific model or year or anything like that, the availability of it was pretty low. And so going to the dealer, I could get exactly what I wanted. But another thing to consider there was, for me, it was safety features. And since that Civic, I've actually bought a new CRV as well. And I've bought used since. I'm not a big car guy. It makes it sound like I'm a big car guy here, but I'm not. But when I bought new vehicles, the safety features, now that I've got two kids, those are really important. And so those haven't always been available on a lot of used vehicles as well. So there's a lot of automatic braking and lane keep assist and all these things. I tend to buy Hondas, and so Honda's safety program was something that was really appealing to me too. So yes, these cars have depreciated probably less than many other vehicles on the road, German vehicles or domestic vehicles in particular. However, for the peace of mind, reliability, availability, and the safety features, for me, I thought it was still a smart decision, and I don't regret it for a second. Second one was another thing that we spend some money on that many people would think is a ridiculous expense, but once in a while we actually hire a house cleaner. And even though it might seem like a small expense, or I don't know, maybe people think it's an enormous expense, I don't know. For us, we'll hire a cleaner maybe once a month, usually like once every couple of months, and it's about $140. We don't have a huge house. If you have a much bigger house, I'm sure it's more expensive, but they do all the big stuff, the vacuuming, washing the floors, cleaning the bathrooms, all that stuff that's really tough to do with a toddler and a baby in the house. And for us, it allows us to spend more time together as a family and doing other tasks. When the cleaners come, my wife kind of takes a day out. Sometimes she goes over to her mother's place and things like that. So there, you take off, you come back, the house is clean. And in our case too, many people are like this, even if you're not really recognizing it, but the stress of a messy home. So like if you have a cluttered space, you have a cluttered brain, that whole idea. For us, that's very real, but having the time or desire to do it all the time doesn't really make sense. So for us, $140 a month or every couple of months, whatever, is definitely money well spent. Number three. Dumb things that I've done with my money. I bought life insurance before I needed it. And life insurance, if you're not familiar, I haven't talked about life insurance a whole lot recently, but life insurance is intended to do three things. It's to replace your income if you were to pass away for a spouse or kids. It covers off your debt and it preserves your estate. So when you pass away, there's things like taxes, and sometimes your taxes can kind of eat up the value of your estate. And so life insurance can step in and help offset some of those costs. However, I bought my first life insurance policy right after my wife and I got married. I wasn't really making much money in this business at that time, and she was making quite a bit of money as a registered nurse. And we were renting a basement suite and we didn't have kids. And I obviously didn't have an estate worth worrying about, let alone preserving. And so it was like, why does that make sense at all, right? So buying insurance before you need it can be a waste of money, right? Because if you're young and healthy, your chances of needing life insurance in the near future are low. So in many cases, you might want to focus on building an emergency fund and paying down high interest debt. In my case, those boxes were ticked. But the reason I bought life insurance before I really needed it, before I had a mortgage, before I had kids, before I had significant finances to consider, one thing I knew was that I was healthy enough to get it, and I was as young as I was ever going to be. And so when you buy life insurance, it's based on your age, sex, and your health. And I knew that I was healthy, and you only get older, and you typically only get sicker as well. So looking at term life insurance, it's really cheap. It gets marginally more expensive as you get older, but my concern or fear, I guess, was that at some point I might have some sort of condition that would make it really difficult for me to get life insurance. So I knew I was healthy to get it. I could lock in a lower price. And by the time I bought a house, I didn't know if I could qualify or anything like that. So we had enough income to add it. And I wanted to make sure that Becky would be covered if anything were to happen to me. And in that case, we bought some life insurance before I technically needed it. But I still think that was a smart decision. And I'm benefiting from it today with the lower prices. Okay, where are we now? Number four, I've paid off low interest debt before, and in some cases, 0% interest debt instead of investing or things like that. On paper and on the internet, a lot of people would say, why, that's crazy. Why would you do something stupid like that? You just look at your rate of return and you compare it to your interest cost. No, it's not that simple. But I understand why people may think that it's a dumb decision because, you know, it might not be the best use of your money if you have debts with higher interest rates. Or yes, of course, I didn't focus on paying off low interest debt first, but instead of just maintaining it and just paying it off over time, what it allowed me to do is to free up cash flow, so increase flexibility every month. I'm in an industry where there isn't a ton of income stability necessarily, or it's variable. And so having flexibility of monthly cash flow is really important. And a big one for me was that because I'm self-employed, getting a mortgage is quite a bit more challenging. And my wife hasn't gone back to work full-time since we've had kids. And so qualifying for a new mortgage on a new house, which is something that we're kind of working on right now, actually, I was able to improve my debt service ratio. So that's how much of my monthly income goes towards debt repayments. And that allows me to qualify for a mortgage on a house that was closer to the size and neighborhood and whatnot that we wanted. So it's less about affordability and just like the specific ratios in that case that allowed us to do that. So paying off debt is generally a good idea. Paying off low interest debt, sometimes like, well, maybe not. Maybe you should just keep making the payments. But in our case, it didn't really make sense to keep the payments going. So I took some money that I had, I'm jumping ahead here, from my TFSA. So I took money out of my TFSA. Uh-oh. That's something that I've always talked about not wanting to do, using it for short-term things, but I'll get to that one in a second. But I took money out of my TFSA and I put it towards low-interest debt. And while it seems silly on paper, for us it made sense. Okay, let's get into the really egregious one here. During COVID and the market crash that kind of came along with it, I used leverage to invest in my TFSA. So leverage in my case was borrowing from a line of credit and investing it in a TFSA. So using leverage just implies using money that you don't have to increase your exposure to an investment. And so obviously that can be very risky. And so if the investments don't perform as expected, you could end up owing more money than you originally invested, right? So theoretically, if that investment went to zero, I wasn't buying penny stocks here or anything like that. I was buying diversified portfolios of stocks. However, theoretically, if that investment went to zero, I would still owe the money back with interest. And so it can be really dangerous to borrow to invest. Also, specifically for us here in Canada, you can't deduct the interest for money borrowed to invest in a TFSA. So sometimes if you take out a loan to invest in a non-registered account, you can deduct the interest cost there. But if you do it in a TFSA or an RSP, you can't do that. So this was probably like the least financially prudent way to do it. But let me kind of set the stage. So back in February of 2020, this is when COVID was first kind of coming around. I'm an MBA fan, and there was this very memorable press conference that a player from the Utah Jazz was giving. His name is Rudy Gobert. He wasn't feeling very well. And at the end of the conference, he jokingly went around and he touched all the microphones from the press that were there. And everybody kind of had a chuckle. And the next day found out that he actually had COVID. And at that time, no one knew what COVID was and it thought it was a virus that was killing people left and right. And, you know, that was really scary. That was 3 years ago now. But as time went on, and even though we're most of you listening, and myself included, were working from home and getting groceries delivered and all that, the world was still turning, despite how strange and weird it was at the time. But the stock market went down incredibly fast. the ballpark of 30% or more in about a month. And a lot of these companies were completely unaffected. Think about Netflix. Who is canceling Netflix when they're stuck at home, right? So there's many of those. Clorox, people were cleaning things like you wouldn't believe. If you remember going through the grocery store, there's nothing in the cleaning aisle. You know, all these companies, they couldn't make enough. And subscription services, all these different things. So there was a lot of stocks that were completely oversold, regardless of what was going on with their actual business. And so the way that I was investing at the time, and I try to keep doing this, or a similar version of this anyways, I contribute to my investments every week. So small amounts, it allows me to take advantage of whatever short-term volatility there is. The way that I get paid is a little bit unique. So I recommend that people contribute when they get paid. It's an easy way to do it. But what I did here, as far as using leverage, is I borrowed some from my line of credit. I borrowed about $10,000, but I also kept investing out of my cash flow every week as well. But because it seemed like this was kind of a crazy opportunity, it seemed like it at the time. In hindsight, I was right. I don't want this to be confirmation bias of a bad decision, but I invested small amounts of that $10,000 in addition to some cash that I had on hand relatively frequently. So I made smaller purchases on February 26th, 28th, March 9th, March 12th, March 16th, and March 31st for a total of $11,000 over that whole period of time, plus what I was doing every week as well. So why was this? I talked about why it can be dumb, obviously, but why did this kind of make sense for me? It's like, well, at the time, remember, I'd paid off some low interest debt, so I had a pretty clean financial situation. I didn't have any high interest debt at all. For a variety of reasons, I had a lot of credit availability, so the $10,000 was a fraction of what I was allowed. And at the time, because it appeared that the world was ending, interest rates were incredibly low, so my debt on those contributions was 3.45%. If I were to do that today, my rate would be 7.7%. So that was meaningfully different. And I didn't put it in all at once. So like I said, I kind of put in little bits at a time. Market kept going down. I just put a little bit more in, a little bit more in, a little bit more in. And here's the confirmation bias. Within the year, if you remember how 2020 kind of panned out, things went really well for the stock market, and in particular, certain sectors of the market. So I was investing in a couple active mutual funds. My philosophy has changed meaningfully, I would say, in the last few years. But at the time, I thought, let's put this new money into an active fund that's focused on tech stocks and whatever. Yes, it ended up working out okay. But my rate of return for the full calendar year, so from January 1st to the end of December, was 69.76%. And so, yeah, so in my case, I feel like I did it right. So I didn't borrow too much. The cost was really low. I was buying smaller amounts on a regular basis. And it was in an environment where stocks were cheaper than they should have been. And I stopped once the prices kept going up because I already bought the cheap shares. I didn't want to keep leveraging into now an expensive market because stocks got really expensive. And in my situation, I said, okay, I'm playing with house money now. And I actually got out of it. So was this a gamble? I would say, yeah, probably was. And so that's why this is a dumb decision. But when it worked in my favor, I knew that it was probably time to put that money towards something else. And that's when I paid off some more low interest debt. I still had some student loans that were incredibly cheap and the interest is deductible on it. But I thought, let's get rid of that. So I paid off my student loans, the rest of my wife's student loans, and we were virtually debt-free as a result of it. So paid off the line of credit, everything else. Would I recommend that anybody do that again? No. Have I done that again? No. But the unique circumstance of the time made some sense in my own mind, even if it was a little bit crazy. So coming to my last one here, using my TFSA for short-term things, the main thing that I continue to talk about on this podcast and with my clients is using a TFSA for long-term things. The TFSA should be called a tax-free retirement account because the most benefit that you get from it is when it's used for long-term things and you get all of the growth tax-free. So using it for short-term things can undermine your ability to achieve those goals. Additionally, if you withdraw money from your TFSA multiple times, It's hard to keep track of your contribution room. If you take a loss, you can't use any of those losses in the future. That contribution room is just gone. In some cases, not mine, but in some cases, you might end up paying more fees that if you're doing lots of transactions. So using TFSA for short-term things doesn't make sense on paper. But for me, because I had that really weird scenario where I used leverage at the right time and the market ended up working in my favor, using that money to pay off some more debt, to me, was prudent decision-making there. I could have just let it stay for sure. But again, this is why personal finance is personal. I didn't want to have student loans anymore. I was sick of paying them off. And I took the opportunity I had when I made money. So again, that rate of return was pretty significant in my TFSA. When I withdrew that money, I actually can recontribute that back. So it wasn't a complete failure in terms of the strategy by any means, because my financial situation improved dramatically. I have less earmarked for the long term now for sure, but the balance sheet is pretty clean. It's looking pretty good. And now I have more cash flow to use for other things. If anyone has a couple of kids at home, you could probably come up with a few ways to spend a few extra bucks every month. And so I don't regret doing that at all. But so those are some of the dumb things that I've done with my money that on the surface, they look stupid. So buying new cars, hiring a house cleaner, buying life insurance before you need it, paying off low interest debt, using leverage, and using a TFSA for short-term things. Yeah, this is me being honest. These aren't recommendations that I have, but given the context of my life, to me, they made sense at the time. So hopefully this is an encouragement not to go out and do these things. But if there are things in your life that make sense that don't always make sense on paper, that's okay, because your situation is unique to you. And sometimes going unconventional will work out for you in the long run. So I hope this was interesting at the very least. You get a kind of peek into my personal life a little bit more. But if you have questions or examples of dumb financial decisions that you've made or you've realized they were dumb in hindsight, maybe send me an email. I'm curious to see it. My email is in the show notes here, of course. But thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Canadian Money Roadmap Podcast. Any rates of return or investments discussed are historical or hypothetical and are intended to be used for educational purposes only. You should always consult with your financial, legal, and tax advisors before making changes to your financial plan. Evan Neufeld is a certified financial planner and registered investment fund advisor. Mutual funds and ETFs are provided by Sterling Mutuals, Inc.